This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is the day for our special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by our good friends at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Mr. Kurt Rogers joins us today. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you. Another beautiful, I keep saying this, but it's just another beautiful day in Colorado.
I think we got some cooler temps coming tomorrow and Thursday, though.
Yeah, but it's the end of November.
I know. It has been nice.
I mean, we can't complain. We had, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we had it where it didn't get above freezing for like 115 hours or something. That's okay.
Yeah.
Look at what we got now.
I know. It is great. So is Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. Their number is 720-895-0500. And before we get to our special guest, Mike Hills is with us from Atlas Real Estate. And but Kurt, before we get to Mike, let's talk a little bit about credit scores. And let's talk about the importance of knowing your credit scores. Why?
This way you can manage it. You can understand what makes it tick. This is the time of year, you know, there's a lot of people out shopping. And when you go into stores now, they all want to offer you a card. And I'm not telling you not to take the card, but understand, if you own a home and you're thinking you might want to buy another one in a year or refinance this one and do some home improvements, or if you don't own a home and you're thinking you want to buy one in the next year, understand, when you apply for these cards and you get them because they save you 10% on what you're buying or 20%, It's going to lower your credit scores. And the difference between a 721 and a 719 on a $300,000 loan cost you $2,500 to $3,000 in a higher rate or cost because of credit score. So make sure that what you're buying is well worth it. I'm not telling you no. I'm just saying you got to understand what it costs every time you apply for another credit card and accept it.
Sure. And if you are going to be doing something fairly quickly on applying for a mortgage, you certainly don't want to be out shopping at Jake's store.
Yeah, well, that
buying a new car or something like that either, right?
That's the other side of it. If you're in the process of doing a mortgage, they're going to look at your income and your debt as currently is now. Well, if you're going to go out and charge up $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000, that's going to affect your debt to income ratio. So this is a very tough time when you start struggling there about, do I charge this up? Do I pay cash? How do I do it? What's it do to my payment? How does it affect my mortgage on a refinance? So all of that comes into play, and that kind of carries over into January. So it can actually affect things. I'm not saying not to do it. Just be prepared for what it can cost you as you're moving forward.
Right. Is it good to use cards a little bit? Let's say like just putting gas or something like that, you know, using it for gas for the end of the month or something, $300 or $400 or $500, and, you know, instead of just having cards with a credit line and never using them hardly.
Well, if you have a card and you've never used it, don't cancel it because it's on there. It helps for your score because it's average length. But you're correct. If you can, put $40, $50, $60 on a card, pay it off. Put $200, pay it off. Credit cards can actually be advantageous if you're disciplined enough to understand how they work. They have more of an impact on your credit score than almost anything else. As much as a late payment, they can be a positive payment to you. But you got to manage them. And that's why they have such a big impact. If you manage your score correctly, you can have one or two cards and have a credit score of a 780. You could have 15 cards and they're all paid perfect and have a credit score of a 650. It's how you manage those cards that come into play. So, I recommend using the card, paying it off. You don't pay any interest for the first 30 days. In some cases, you get points or miles. Many of my customers, they use their credit card to pay all their bills and pay the credit card off once a month. It's an easy way to run a budget.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. So, yeah.
Great. 720-895-0500. Again, it's Affordable Interest Mortgage. Well, glad to have Mike Hills back with us, Atlas Real Estate, realatlas.com.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good to see you again.
Yeah. So one thing I will say, as you guys were talking about credit score, I think we do a bad job as Americans in our American school systems telling young people just how important their credit scores are.
Yes.
And holy moly, I've made the majority of my net worth because I have good credit, because I continue to do what? I go to banks, I buy real estate, and I hold it for the long term. Well, why do banks loan me money? Because I have good credit. And good credit is the key to the entire thing. Quick story for you guys. I remember I went to the University of Denver, and I was a freshman in college. And I remember coming back from the dorms or from class, and lined up in the hallways in the dorms at DU were these credit card companies. And they were offering, you know, oh, you don't have a credit card? Here. You have no credit? Great. We'll give you $500 limit. We'll give you $300 limit. I have a buddy that, I kid you not, was paying off credit cards into his early 30s, stuff that he got when he was 18 and 19 years old at DU, because he didn't know any better, because no one taught him. His parents didn't teach him. The school systems didn't teach him. Mm-hmm. And these credit card companies were preying on, and they do, they prey on young people with no, you know, free, you know, you don't have any credit, but we'll give you a $1,000 limit. And when you're 19, sounds like free money. But man, if you rack up that credit card, then you don't pay the bill, it hurts you for
a long period of time.
Really long period of time. And he was, I mean, to this day, the guy doesn't own a house, and he's, you know, 38, 39 years old.
And you think of that, at the, you know, young age, sometimes even older age, that new 70-inch big screen, $40 a month, I can do that, you know?
And that's how they sell it, $40 a month.
Right.
Or when you're checking out of a Kohl's and they're saying, well, we'll give you an extra 10 or 20% off if you apply for a credit card.
Right.
Well, that 10 or 20% off on a $200 order is, what, 20 bucks, 40 bucks? But it's going to affect your score over here, maybe 10, 15 points. And it costts you a whole lot more.
Credit,
whether it's for
key.
A car, whether it's for a mortgage, it's going to affect you.
It is crazy, and I actually think that we do. And unfortunately, in our society, there's not a lot of people who have true and really good financial education. So we don't teach our young people. Young people don't know. And frankly, you know what that means? If our young people don't know, as they get older, they don't know. So they're not passing down any good financial freedom tips or strategies or schooling. And you get what we have today, which is a bunch of people, and Americans' debt is completely out of control because we spend too much.
Right.
We spend what we don't have. And guess what? Our federal government and our state governments do the exact same thing. They spend money they don't have. And this isn't a political show, but...
Do they call that a deficit?
Yeah, something like that.
22 trillion?
Yeah, you know what you call that when...
Bounce checks.
Yeah, you know what you call that when you're for a home, a household, if you're in a deficit? They call that bankruptcy.
Right. My grandmother lived to be 101 and a half years old.
Oh.
And I remember I was working at a furniture store, and she went to eat some carpet, and I said, hey, they have this deal, 1 year, no interest. You know, well, we tried to get her approved, and she was like 93 at the time. Didn't even have a credit file, because they just paid cash for everything. And
right.
That was the mentality
right.
back
totally.
In those
if
days.
If I can't
right?
pay cash, I don't
right.
need it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's amazing to me how many people get themselves into trouble. And, you know, we could do a whole show on debt and,
yes.
you know, good types of debt, bad types of debt, you know, biblical sides of debt. And there's lots of theories on it. What I can tell you, what I tell people when I have lots of these conversations, Curtis, I know you do too, that this is simply about smart debt, long-term debt, debt that actually makes you money, not consumer debt. Consumer debt, by definition, is just you're going to buy something on credit that you use and you use up till it goes away. Cars are a great example of, man, they're sure nice and they're really pretty, but if you can't afford it, that can really hurt your ability to get the good kind of debt, which in this conversation is mortgage debt.
Well, one of the things I think is funny, sometimes when you drive through a neighborhood, you'll see somebody has a Porsche, mm-hmm. a SUV, and they're living in a house that needs new driveway and yard work and paint, but they have this real nice Porsche. Like, okay, you guys, that one's depreciating. This one's appreciating.
Well, I've told you guys before, one of my tenants, he's lived in one of my rentals. He moved into my very first house that I ever bought. I bought it, 18 and a half years ago now. He moved in with me. He still rents for me to this day, and he drives a $65,000 BMW, which is far nicer than the car I drive, and he pays me rent every single month. And I just, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
So what would you tell, let's take this a little further. What would you tell parents right now? Hey, everybody's going to be really good. Holidays, Christmas time. So mm-hmm. parents may be around their kids in their 20s or 30s right now. What would you tell parents to sit down and tell their kids right now?
So this is what I do with clients, and I would tell parents to do the same thing with their kids. I would sit down and have a very honest conversation about, what do you want? You know, what's important to you? And if you can, when I sit down with a client, before I go into what you want to buy, how you want to buy it, what your financing looks like, I sit down and say, hey, who are you and what are you trying to accomplish? And then back in from that goal, from that future goal, and all the way to, okay, does that mean that you should buy that TV if you can't afford it? Like, understand that there's an opportunity cost. And if you have $5,000 in cash and you put that down on a car, now you have to make mortgage payments to that car for the next 5.5 years. So that cash is an opportunity payment that if that's what's really important to you, then great, do that. But if you're doing it just because, I don't know, I guess I need a new car. As an example, I have a Jeep Grand Cherokee in the parking lot right now, and it's got 198,000 miles on it. And I know I need a new car, but
it runs.
It runs, and I don't have time to go buy a new car right now. And I don't want a car payment, which means if when I buy a new car, I'm going to have to pay cash. And that's not like I'm going to buy a $5,000 car. It's going to be $25,000, $35,000, $45,000. Well, when I have $45,000, do you know what I do? I go buy another house. I don't want to spend a car because that costs me money. A house takes care of my future. And I would sit down with parents and kids and say, look, who are you? What are you trying to accomplish? And are the decisions you're making today working towards that goal, or are they hindering that goal? And I don't think we as Americans, we don't look at things that way. We look at this, you know, a microwave generation right now. I want instant gratification. And I get that, and I do too in some ways, but I also want to take care of the future. So if you can do both, that's what I would say. But if you're doing something today to sacrifice the future, absolutely not. I think that's penny wise and pound foolish.
That kind of goes into where we're headed, which is what you do, Michael. You started 18 and a half years ago. Like you said, you bought your first house.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, you own how many?
My wife and I, we have 51 doors.
Okay. I like the way you said it, 51 doors.
Yeah.
It's not homes, it's doors. And you've gotten there because I think the way you look at homes mm-hmm. kind of coincides with what you just talked about. It's different than you're not in the rental business. You're in the investment business.
Absolutely.
So kind of explain to me that mentality and how you got 18 years ago from nothing mm-hmm. to 51 rentals.
So it started when I was in high school and college. My best buddy lived across the street. We're still best friends. His father acquired 6 to 8 rentals, something like that. I was a kid, so I was like paying attention, but not really paying attention. And when I was a sophomore, junior in college, and I grew up in Northern California, came out here to go to DU, and have stayed out here ever since. So I'm a transplant. I'm from the not cool Northern Sacramento part of California, and will never live there again. But my buddy, his dad owned these houses, and he sort of acquired them by accident. He was buying them, and you know, he had a house that he couldn't sell, so he moved and turned it into a rental. My buddy's grandmother passed away, so she left the house to my buddy's dad. So he was acquiring these houses kind of by accident. And about my sophomore junior year of college, Bob is the man's name. He started selling these properties off, and he bought land in a little town called Auburn. Auburn is just outside of Sacramento in the Sierra Nevada. It's kind of like Evergreen is to Denver. So he bought this land cash. He sold a couple of his rentals, bought it cash. Then he sold a couple more of his rentals and designed his house with an architect, exactly how he would want to do it. Then he general contracted himself, and he built his own house. When he was all said and done, he owned a piece of land in the foothills with a house on it that is exactly what he wanted. And on top of that, he had about $500,000 in cash in the bank. And he did it on purpose, but the real estate acquisition was kind of on accident. And at the time, I was looking at this thinking, man, this really works. And if I put some serious effort into this and put a program around it and some time behind it, I don't have any money. I got out of DU with a little less than $25,000 in student debt. That was my net worth. I was negative $25,000, but I had good credit. I graduated June 9th, 2001, closed on my first house September 1st, 2001. I had a real job. You know, I was no longer bartending and waiting tables. I had a 1099 or a W-2, a real job. I had decent credit, good credit, and I borrowed the money from my mom in a gift. It was $6,800.
Gift letter.
It was a gift letter because I didn't have the money, and we tell people you need two of three. You need a job, you need credit, and you need a down payment. If you can get to two of three, we can usually figure out how to get you to the third. So I bought this house and did it with the intent to keep it as an investment. And I think
go ahead.
Okay.
No, we're fine.
So basically what I did is I bought this house, turned it into it, and with the intent of buying this house, putting as little money down as possible. And I learned that when you sign on the dotted line to the loan company, that you are committing, promising that you'll live there for 12 months. After 12 months, the lender doesn't care what you do with the house. So I said, well, this is kind of interesting. This is what my best buddy's dad did. So I was like, I'm going to put some effort behind this. I bought this house. I moved in. Two of my buddies moved with me. The guy that drives the BMW that I mentioned earlier.
Still rents.
He moved into that house with me all those years ago, literally in September of 2001. So he moved in with me, and they paid me rent, and I paid the mortgage. And I thought, you know, this is the absolute best use of my money. Instead of investing money into the stock market, I can invest it into houses. And I get paid three ways every single month. I get the appreciation over time. I get the debt reduction being every time that my tenants pay me, I pay the bank. So I get that. And then the third way is I get positive cash flow. So in theory, if I'm collecting $1,500 a month in rent and my mortgage payment is $1,300, I make $200. And this is what I have done over all of these years. And we'll sit down here in a second and I'll go over the math and why rental real estate absolutely destroys anything the stock market does. And is there a risk on both sides of it? Of course, there's always risk. But I like the risk in real estate because I can control it and the math works. And I'll tell you a story a little bit later on of a guy, he might be listening right now, that he liquidated his 401k, paid the penalties, paid the taxes, and still has more money today because of the liquidation. I mean, it's a fascinating story to see what he's done with through real estate versus the stock market.
Wow. You're listening to a special edition of Your Money Matters here on Haystack Help Radio. 303-477-5600 is our number. If you got any questions for Kurt or Mike, we'll take your calls. We'll be right back.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest to you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireservice.com.
Rates continue to drop. Have you taken advantage or are you still waiting? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where all of our loans come with lower fees and low rates. You deserve it. Call 720-895-0500, where we have been serving Colorado since 2001. We are locally owned and operated. We know Colorado, and we know how to help. Have you tried to get a loan and been treated just like another number? Transferred from one person to another? Vague answers? Feel like no one is listening? Take AIM, where what you want matters. Respect and straight answers. And all with the same person from start to finish. Call 720-895-0500. We're the home of one of the fastest growing loans in Colorado, the Asset Manager. More Coloradans are switching to this loan than any other. Why? It allows you to pay thousands less in interest, have lower payments, access your equity for 30 years, and own your home in half the time. Find out why it could work for you. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Call 720-895-0500 now and keep more of your money. NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA, Equal Credit Lender.
Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality eye and vision care for over 50 years. Stack Optical is a family-owned business, and they're proud to be one of the few optical offices that have their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Your one-stop shop for all of your vision needs, eye exams, glasses, and contacts. And don't forget about the Stack Sports Pack. Let owner and certified optician Alan Stack customize a pair of specialized glasses that will make your next outing on the golf course or on the gun range better than ever before. Call today for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Or check them out at stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watney, along with Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage. Mike Hills is with us from Atlas Real Estate. Mike's number, 720-220-8500. The website, realatlas.com. And real quick, we'll go ahead and throw in, we got a little event happening tomorrow night.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that.
Our office at, we just moved, 970 Yuma Street is our new office. It's over by like 8th Avenue and I-25. There's a big Dasbog coffee. It's a really cool space. And we're doing an event tomorrow at 6:30. It's free. And it's really just Atlas's belief, our belief, my belief in real estate, why real estate is frankly better than the stock market, why we think everybody should own. And we just sit and talk about real estate. There's no, one of the things that I'll promise anybody listening right now, and I say it usually my second or third sentence, is I don't have anything to sell you. I have no class. I have no book. I have no t-shirt. I don't even have a piece of real estate. This is just our philosophy. The real estate industry is smarmy. It's my new favorite word these days. You know, it's gross. Every time you go to one of these seminars, somebody's trying to sell you something. And
right,
the whole thing is a pitch as to why you should buy the next book or the next class. And I promise you, that's not us. We just simply talk about real estate. And then if you come and you want to talk about you at some future point, we'll take you out, buy you a cup of coffee, buy you a beer, and talk about you, your goals, what you're trying to accomplish, who you are, and how we can help. But it's not, there's absolutely no pressure. Like I said, you don't even really need to RSVP. Just show up. It's at 6:30. You'll meet me. We'll talk. You'll meet our team. And we just talk about real estate, the different markets that we invest in, why we invest in those markets, why we don't invest in some markets, why we think real estate is just a better deal long-term than the stock market. And if you want to have a further conversation, you know, you can raise your hand, ask questions. You can argue with me. I always welcome that when somebody's like, I disagree with you. I'm like, great, let's talk about it. It's fine. It's tomorrow night, Wednesday night. What is tomorrow? The
20th.
Wednesday night, the 20th at 6:30 at our office at 970 Yuma Street.
Okay, you were talking before the break about, and we, over all the times we've had you on the show, when I originally was looking at investment property years ago, I looked at it as property. What I've learned from you is it's not property.
Right.
It's an investment. It's no different than putting money in a savings account. Basically, I got to take cash from here and put it over here.
Yep.
It's no different than putting money in a 401k or an IRA or any other kind of stock or whatever I want to do. It's just transferring this cash into this over here.
Yep.
So when you start looking at it that way, explain how properties and investing in those, the difference that they have between stocks and bonds and portfolios of those.
Sure. So let's start with stocks and bonds and portfolios of those. Anybody out there that owns mutual funds, and when people are planning for retirement, kids' college fund, usually they don't buy, you know, Microsoft stock. Usually people buy mutual funds. And when you buy mutual funds, there's expenses to those funds. You know, sometimes it's front end loaded, sometimes it's back end loaded, but every mutual fund you buy, there is an expense to that. And an expense is so that the owner of said fund charges, you know, the group to do all of the validation and the vetting and the buying and the trading and the moving, right? That's just the way it works.
They got to get paid.
Totally makes sense. That we are totally in agreement. Everybody agrees to that. Here's the thing. In the last 100 years, the stock market has not done double-digit returns. So if you go to a financial planner today, and if there's probably a financial planner listening, feel free to call in if you want to chat about it. But he or she will tell you that you're probably going to make 7%. That'll be your net draw. So maybe you make 8% and the fees are 1%. But if you're making 7%, that's a pretty good return. And let's pretend you take that 7% return and you make that every single year, compound on top of it, and you hold it for 15 years. So if you take 50 grand and you make 7% return every single year for 15 years, it'll yield a little less than 150,000 bucks. Your 50 grand, let's call it for easy math, grows into $150,000. There's actually a website called NerdWallet, which is really cool. You can take that and it'll figure out future values of money for you if you'd like. So let's say you're going to make 7%, and a 7% return is great. Now, if you did that at 10%, which the stock market has never done, a 10% return every single year for 15 straight years on a $50,000 investment, you would have a little bit less than $225,000. That's the way the math works. So at 7%, you're going to have 150. At 10%, you're going to get 225. 10%, never been done. Now, you can make 10% in the stock market over short bursts. That absolutely happens. But over the long term, it hasn't happened before. So let's pretend it's not going to happen. But I just want everybody to know that at 10%, it'll be 225. Now, let's say you take the same 50,000 bucks, the same 50 grand, and you buy a rental property. So you put it down on a $250,000 house. When you buy a rental, typically you have to put down 20%. Mm-hmm. So 20% of $250,000 is $50,000. So let's say you put this 50 grand down on a rental property. That's 250,000 bucks. Means you have a mortgage value of $200,000. Now let's also pretend you make $0 for every year for 15 years. Now you pay your mortgage payment because your tenants are paying this. Remember, you have tenants in there. Right. They pay you every month. Rents typically tend to go up. We all know this. Think back what rents were 15 years ago versus what they are today. Rents tend to go up, but let's pretend you just break even. So the rents pay your mortgage every month. You pay the bank, and then there's expenses. There's expenses, you know, a dishwasher breaks, or, you know, you need to replace a roof, or you got to do yard work, or you have to move a tenant out, so you have to turn the house. You break even for 15 years, make $0, and the house doesn't appreciate a nickel. It's worth 15 years from today, it's worth exactly what it is today, which is $250,000. Guess what? That $250,000 house is worth more than the stock market at a 7% return, and it's worth more than the stock market at a 10% return.
Because it's still worth 250.
Because it's still worth 250.
It's not worth 150. It's worth 250.
It's worth 250. You've totally broken even, but it's still worth 250.
And it wasn't your money.
And it was someone else's money. But there's two big bonuses when you own real estate. And this is why I own lots of real estate. Bonus number one, when you no longer owe the bank the mortgage payment anymore because it's paid off in 15 years, where does that money go?
Your pocket.
Your pocket. You've created an income stream. You've created a way to make money every month while you're sleeping. That's the best part. But there's a second bonus, and the second bonus is my favorite, and this is a sneaky bonus. The second bonus is if the stock market has made 7% to 10% every year for 15 years, look at the trends. The stock market and the real estate market, the appreciation market, tend to have a symbiotic relationship. When one goes up, the other goes up. When one goes down, the other goes down. That's the way it's happened over the last 50 years. So if you've made 7 to 10% in the stock market for the last 15 years, every single year, it's fair to assume that the real estate market has also increased. Generally, the United States does about 3.75%, 3.5% appreciation every year. Colorado, we get closer to 5%.
Right.
But let's pretend your $250,000 house has appreciated at 4% every single year for 15 years. Your house is worth more than $400,000. It's probably like $450,000. You have absolute. So now you have a house that you put 50 grand down on that's worth, let's underestimate and call it 425. House is worth $425,000. Plus you have an income stream that you've created from the cash flow because you don't know the bank, and it costs you 50 grand. It costs you a $50,000 down payment. It absolutely crushes the stock market. Now, here's the, I'll be honest and tell you the downside. The downside is you have to be a landlord. That is a downside. When I say landlord, I'm sure there's people listening are like, oh, I don't want to be a landlord.
Don't want to do that.
They're terrified of that because being a landlord can be messy. It can be a pain. And if you know how frustrating it is that you work every month and you break even for 15 years, the 15 years from now, it's really cool. But year 9, when you're doing all this work and you're not making any money, it's kind of frustrating. But that's why we do it for you. We will be your property manager. We manage roughly 3,100 units in Denver, Colorado Springs, and Phoenix. and we're your landlord. So you don't have to be it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to get tenant calls. Frankly, I have clients that have never seen their houses. My last two transactions, I bought a fourplex in Colorado Springs and a fourplex in Phoenix. I've never even been inside them because it doesn't matter. I trust my property manager. I drove by them, but I've never been inside because it doesn't matter to me. I've never met the tenants because I bought a fundamentally strong deal that I'm okay with, and I trust my property managers. These people also work for us, and they work for me, so I implicitly trust them because I pay them every month. But that's the beauty of the system is you buy a property, we turn around and manage it for you, man.
Well, it's the same thing with stock. If you put money in stock, yes. You're not going to manage that. You're going to let the financial planner manage that.
Exactly.
So you're doing the same thing that they're doing.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So it's not like it's extra money. It's all part of the. It's all going to wash itself out because you're collecting enough money to cover the fee.
Yep.
You don't deal with it, and at the end of 15 years, you're at 4.25% plus. You got an income stream of $1,500, $1,800 a month.
It's amazing. It really, really is amazing. And if you were lucky enough to buy in Colorado in 2012, 13, 14, 15, and 16,
it's even higher.
Some of the stuff that we bought in 2013 has almost tripled in value. So we've gotten way more than 4%. Now, what I'd be willing to bet, so I bought 3 single family homes in Aurora in 2013. Those things have almost tripled in value. Now, fast forward from 2014 to 2029, 15 years, I would be willing to bet that my values, they're not going to triple again. It will slow down because
to an average of 4%.
To an average of probably pretty close to 4 or 5%.
Yep.
Now, I happen to buy at the absolute bottom, so I'm going to get probably a little bit better than that, but I bet it slows down, and that's okay, you know, because this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is a marathon. You know, why the Rockies don't win too many baseball games these days, but normally, why do teams win? Because they get the most hits. We're not trying to hit home runs. We're trying to hit singles and doubles just over and over again.
Moneyball.
Exactly.
Get on base.
Play the small ball, and man, yep. The small ball works. It works, and it works, and it works.
Tomorrow night at 6:30, you can find out a little bit more about this, 970 Yuma Street. If you'd like to talk to Mike, 720-220-8500. Again, their website, realatlas.com. We got to take a break. Be right back.
Have you been considering an RV, or are you looking for a place that will help you keep your RV in top condition? Let me tell you about my friends at Cousins RV. They've got 3 convenient locations to serve you in Loveland, Wheat Ridge, and Colorado Springs, which includes full parts and service departments at all 3 locations. Cousins RV is locally owned and operated by Jim Humble and Drew Bryant with over 40 years in the RV industry. Cousins RV offers the top manufacturers in the industry, and they have a huge selection of pre-owned RVs at every price point. Service is key at Cousins RV, and they can handle any repair, even offering a mobile RV service. Hey, we all know accidents can happen, and at Cousins RV, they have their own collision center with a paint booth to fit the largest of RVs. Come to the place that has the best Google reviews from any RV dealer in Colorado and ranks number 1 in customer satisfaction. Owners Jim and Drew are on site daily. Be sure and let them know you heard about them here on Haystack Help Radio.
The tingling and numbness in your feet started a long time ago, and it's only gotten worse. It's finally getting to the point where you can't sleep at night. It's starting to affect your balance, and although your doctor prescribed medication, you worry about the side effects. Dr. Dean Anderson, chiropractor with Front Range Medical Center, offers an advanced treatment for peripheral neuropathy that can greatly reduce your nerve pain. Regain feeling and mobility without taking prescription medications. At Front Range Medical Center, Dr. Anderson and his team treat the source of the nerve pain using one of the most advanced forms of electronic medicine to help their patients experience long-term success. You know the problem won't go away on its own. Call Dr. Dean Anderson today and mention Haystack Help Radio to receive a $27 consultation, including a neuropathy-specific exam and a review of your health history. Find out whether or not you could be a candidate for this advanced treatment. Call 720-851-9694, 720-851-9694. You have nothing to lose but pain.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. more people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David C. Shawn of Householder Group, 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
And we are back. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio, a special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, any mortgage needs, give Kurt and his team a call, 720-895-0500. Mike Hills is our special guest, Atlas Real Estate, realatlas.com. Mike's number, 720-220-8500.
Okay. Before the as we were breaking, a thought came to mind. I know that there's people out there listening say, well, like in 2008, the housing market crashed. Mm-hmm. Home values went down 45, 50% in mm-hmm. some areas, most cases around 30, 35. I happened to have rentals at that time. I understood that. So everybody, like your dad told you, you lost money. But there's a difference. The stock market also crashed at the same time. You said earlier how they work together. Mm-hmm. Stock market also crashed on average 47%. There are people that lost everything in the stock market. Mm-hmm. What's the difference whether my house depreciates from 300,000 to 100, or the stock market taking 200,000 and I lose it?
So think of it this way. So first, going back to what we talked about before the break, I know that was a lot of math and a lot of numbers. Just simply think of it from a philosophical standpoint. Real estate, because you get paid in three different ways, you get appreciation, you get debt reduction, you get positive cash flow. Whereas in the stock market, you only get appreciation or growth. Your nest egg can only grow or it can decline. That's similar to the value of a home. It can go up or it can go down. And that therein lies the answer to your right. question, Kurt. So think of it this way. If you buy a $300,000 house, your real cash into it is only your down payment. So you have a $300,000 home that if it loses value and it loses 10%, it's gone down from $300,000. 10% is $30,000. It's gone down to $270,000. But you actually haven't lost that money because you haven't sold the house. It's just sitting there.
Paper.
And here's the beauty. I had rentals when the market crashed in 2007 to 2008. My wife and I had five properties. We lived in one and had four rentals. And the truth of the matter is, when the market crashed, I still had tenants living in my four rentals, and I lived in one of them. And we paid the mortgage payment every single month. The tenants paid me. I paid the mortgage payment. Had the values gone down? Absolutely. But the cash flow really hadn't changed. My tenants still paid me rent. I still paid the bank. So I still got paid on two of the three ways. I wasn't getting appreciation at that time because the market had crashed. But I was getting debt reduction, so I was still making money there. And I was getting positive cash flow on the rent. Without my money. So I was still making money there. So the beauty of real estate is when the market dips, and you know what? It's going to. We don't know when. Everybody seems to think it's going to be sooner rather than later, and I would agree with you. I get paid two or three ways. Now, the really fun years are when I get paid all three ways, when I get appreciation and I get debt reduction and I get positive cash flow. Those are the really fun years. But in market declines, in dips, I still get debt reduction. I still get positive cash flow because those numbers don't change. And when the market comes up, it means that I'm able to take advantage of it. The big difference between the stock market versus real estate. I'll give you an example. There was an article on a website called Investability. This is probably a year ago. And this website made the argument that if you have $1 in real estate and $1 in the stock market, pick any time in history, pick that day, and then pick a future day, the stock market is going to be worth more than the value of real estate. And you know what? That makes sense to me. Why? Because on average, the stock market will go up 6 to 8%. Real estate will go up 3.5 to 4.5%. Well, if one's going up 7, and one's going up four, the one that's going up seven is always going to be more. It just, that makes sense. But here's what the website missed. The website missed that when you buy $1 of real estate, you're not actually spending a dollar. You're spending somewhere between 3.5 cents and 20 cents. Think back to everybody that owns a house or anybody that you know that's bought a house. Right. Do they ever write a check? Sometimes they do, but for the most part, especially the younger you are, the less money you have. So therefore, what do? You get a mortgage. So when you buy a $300,000 house, you're not putting down $300,000. Nope. You're putting somewhere between $10,000 and $60,000. So when that house increases from $300,000 to some future point, your percentage gain on your cash that you invested is massive. That's why real estate, you can make more money than the stock market. Plus, you get the debt reduction and the positive cash flow like we've talked about. But how else do you turn 50 grand into $500,000? Somebody else does it for you. That's the beauty of real estate.
They take the analogy there that you're not buying an investment, you're buying a primary. So you're going to end up paying the dollar for the dollar during
exactly.
the time on compound interest.
Yes.
But that's not the case with investment.
Correct.
Like you said, 3.5 cents, 3.5% down on whatever you buy.
Absolutely.
So it's that money turning it over is why it's making so much more on the investment property, because you're not spending your money.
Yep.
In a good market or a bad market, it's paying you.
And guys, I know we just talked a lot about math, and I'm a big math dork at heart, and I love talking numbers. So if you want us to slow down, if you want us to do it again, if you want to do it offline, I'm happy to do that.
Come tomorrow night
and listen, and we'll do it again live. I have a big whiteboard. If anybody has any questions, we can draw on the whiteboard. But simply put, because when you buy a dollar of real estate, you're not actually spending a dollar of your own cash. You're spending simply your down payment. The use of leverage absolutely throws your gains through the roof. Now, here's the thing. The wrong use of leverage can also cost you your shirt. And here's what I mean. When I buy real estate, when I coach people on buying real estate, I do not tell people to do interest-only loans. I do not tell people to do adjustable-rate mortgages. This is all fixed-rate, long-term, structured debt on deals, on real estate purchases that we have vetted and vetted and vetted to make sure that they fit our investment thesis. Because think back to the crash in 2007, 2008, 2009. One of the main reasons it crashed, there's a bunch of Americans out there that were betting on the come. It's a craps term, a Vegas term. So what they were doing is they were buying properties. They were putting financing on them that was not fixed rate, that was interest only. So when values dropped and interest rates went up, their payments went up. And when their payments went up, they tried to sell their house, but they couldn't sell their house for what they owed because it wasn't worth that anymore. And you couldn't refinance, you couldn't get into fixed rate debt. So people got into a pinch. They were upside down on their house. Whereas you take me, I had fixed rate debt. So I'll just keep paying my bills. I'll just keep paying my bills because they're not going to change. Now, was it easy? No, there was times that it wasn't fun, but that's the beauty of fixed rate debt. So leverage can be your best friend. If done wrong, it can bankrupt you. So we coach on that because, man, the use of leverage is, it's amazing if done right. I think Albert Einstein said the eighth wonder of the world is compound interest, and compound interest in real estate using debt is amazing.
Yep. And that's why I really don't want someone to hear this and just say, oh, I saw a house for sale. I'll go buy it.
No.
Rent it out.
No.
Yeah. I mean,
You can buy the wrong property.
Yes, yeah. You can.
I mean, there's a strategy behind this. It's not just a concept.
Well, your dad was going to buy a house.
So quick story before the next break. My old man was going to buy a house. He called me. This is roughly 2011, end of 2011. He called me and says, hey, Mike, I'm going to buy a rental property. And I was like, Dad, good for you. Where? And he said, my next door neighbor's house. And I grew up next to this house. And I said, Dad, please, please, please don't. He's like, why? It's a good deal. And he was right. Smoking deal. You know, it was right after the crash, prices were so low. And I said, Dad, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to have a bleeding ulcer because every day you're going to drive home by this house and they're not going to care for the yard the way you do. And the pool, this house has a pool in the backyard. The pool is going to turn green and it's just going to frustrate you. And you're going to lay in bed awake at night worried. Or they're going to have a party on a late Saturday night and you're going to go over there with a gun and you're going to get your butt thrown in jail because you do not have the temperament to be a landlord. And I talked him out of it and he agreed with me, but he ended up buying a rental in Aurora in 2016. We sold it bought it in 2012, sold it in 2016. He made $100,000 in 4 years in appreciation. That was just appreciation. And the compliment I got was, maybe there is something to this real estate thing. It's like, thanks, Dad. 100 G's. Like, okay. But that's the thing. You have to have the right temperament. And the other analogy that I use is back then, 2011, 12, 13, 14, it was the shotgun approach. We were buying everything. Anytime I could get another loan from a bank, anytime I had enough money for a down payment, I was buying because everything was so cheap, I believed that it was going to go up. In today's world, it's a sniper rifle approach. You have to be really specific, very conscious of what you're buying, where you're buying, because we think we're sort of at the tippy top, the peak of the market. Now, does that mean that it's not going to come back up? No, I think it's going to come back up. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to bank on, I don't want to bet on appreciation. I don't want to bet on rent growth. I plan on it, but I don't bet on it. I don't speculate on it. If you do that, you're just gambling, and that's a risky business. I think that's one of those other reasons that stuff crashed, you know, in the late 2008, 2009, because people were betting on appreciation and banking on it. And man, I think that's that coupled with bad financing is a recipe for disaster.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how you don't have to put 20% down.
All right. Again, tomorrow night, 6:30, 970 Yuma Street. It's really just a conversation is what we always call it. It's not really a class. It's not really a seminar. Just a chance to get to meet Mike and hear about all the details of what we've tried to express to you today. But again, it'll be a fun time. I promise you that. And as Mike said, most real estate deals are, you know, you got to buy this book or, Kurt, sometimes we say the tapes, which dates us a little bit, okay? The CDs, whatever. All right, nothing to sell you, all right? Just come meet Mike, listen to how they present things, and I promise you it'll be a good time for you. Again, it's 970 Yuma. Mike's number 720-220-8500.
We'll have alcohol for you, too.
All right, we'll be right back.
You will regret not seeking medical treatment. Take it from Kevin Flesh with Flesh and Beck Law.
Even small accidents sometimes create injury to human beings in the car. So I've had a number of cases where the amount of damage to the vehicle is $1,000 or less. And the people thought they were okay leaving the scene of the accident, but 2 or 3 days later, then they have the whiplash or they have the symptoms that were caused from the accident. And so you just want to make sure that you get good information when an accident happens.
Whether or not you feel like you need it, seek medical treatment immediately after an accident. Then call Kevin Flesh with Flesh and Beck Law for a free, no-obligation consultation. Call 303-806-8886. That's 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Trust your pet's care to Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hi, this is Scott Watley, and we've trusted our pets to Lone Tree for over 15 years. There are many reasons we love them, and it's great to have all of our pet care needs met under one roof. Whether your pet needs medical, dental, surgical care, boarding, grooming, or obedience training, the friendly and experienced staff at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has you covered. As accredited members of the American Animal Hospital Association, you can rest assured that Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center meets the highest standards of veterinary care. And they're a Gold Star member of the BBB and a member of HaystackHelp.com. Check out their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com as they share great insight on pet care. Lone Tree is open 7 days a week for your convenience. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Give them a call, 303-708-8050, or check them out at LoneTreeVet.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. A few more minutes here with our guest, Mike Hills, Atlas Real Estate, realatlas.com. Mike's number, 720-220-8500. Kurt Rogers with us from Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Yes, I'm still here.
You're still here. Kurt gets lost in the music there a little bit.
I just get rocking out over here. Steely Dan, I like him. We were talking about the break. Most people believe you got to put 20% down to buy an investment. Mm-hmm. I know that you don't. You have a terminology for it that you use, and it's called house hacking. Explains mm-hmm. how that works.
So God bless the millennials. Millennials, everything has a cheat code. And so these days, house hacking is like house cheat code. And basically what they're saying is a way to buy real estate and to grow your rental portfolio with having very little money. And let me explain. When I started, I house hacked. Now, I didn't call it house hacking because I didn't learn that term until maybe 2 years ago. So like I said, that's on the millennials. You know, it's like the hashtags. Nobody knew what a hashtag was until, you know, recent history, right? So house hacking, what I did is, and what we coach is, if you don't have a lot of money, but you have good credit, you have stable income, so you have a job, and if you have access to money, and I didn't have any money, but I had access to a down payment. I borrowed the money from my mom. She actually gifted it to me. It was a gift, right? We're laughing.
Is your brother still listening?
Yes.
She did what?
What?
She didn't give me.
Never gave me any money.
My dad helped him, so it was cool. So here's the way it is. So I bought a house with a gift letter from my mom, and it was $6,800, and I lived there for roughly 18 months. I had two buddies move in with me, and then I moved, and I got a lease on that first place, because many people say, well, when you buy the second place, how am I going to afford two mortgages? This is the beauty. Lending companies, lenders, your mortgage company, as long as you have a lease for the first place, they don't count it that you have to pay for.
Against your debt load.
Yeah, they count it as
income.
As income, which is great. So in theory, the rent covers the mortgage, therefore it's a wash. So you go to qualify for the second house. And then you do it again in 12 to 24 months and do it again and do it again. And that's what I did. I acquired my first four rental properties, my wife and I did, by living in them. That was the beauty. It was house hacking. It was a way to buy houses with very little money down. And why do we put little money down? Because we didn't have any money. It wasn't, I would have put more down if I had it, but I didn't have it. These days, when someone comes to me and says, hey, I just inherited $50,000 or I have $30,000, we can actually show you how to take that. Now, $50,000 is a lot of money, but it's not that much money. You can't retire on $50,000. So we can take that money and show you how that money can turn into three houses over a 24-month period.
Yep.
It's amazing. And then you get, again, you buy a couple houses, you have multiple income streams. You have the appreciation, you have the debt reduction, you have the positive cash flow, and it's house hacking. It's a cheat code to buy real estate when you don't have to put 20% down, because that is a common mistake. People don't believe that you can buy a house for less than 20% down, and you can. And I've done it lots of times. It's neat.
And because you're making it your primary is why you only have to put 3% or 3.5% down, right, to be able to get into it. And where we're really seeing it is you can do the FHA that way, and you start taking that to a duplex or a threeplex or a fourplex, mm-hmm, and you start looking at those numbers. Or you're a veteran and you want to buy your first place. Veterans can do this, and it's just marvelous, because a veteran can buy a fourplex, bring no money to the table, and have no payment on the property he or she just bought, because the tenants are basically paying for everything else, because they're going to get the best rate.
Totally.
There's no mortgage insurance. For a veteran, it's a great way, if you just come out of the military or if you're still in it, to start that process. And you do it once or twice, three times, and you're going to have plenty of properties.
If you are a vet and you are listening, please call Kurt or I. Call us. Let's talk about it. The American government, in terms of finance, has done lots of stuff wrong. The VA loan, whew, it is amazing. There's part of me that wants to join the military just so I could get a VA loan. Now, I don't really like being told what to do, so I think struggle in that setting. And
well, the getting up at 4:30 in the morning would hurt you too.
Yeah, it's because I go to bed at 2. You know, that's the problem. No, the VA loan is amazing. It is a financial miracle. And if you have a VA loan, holy moly, take advantage of that. Call us. And like I said, there's no obligation. We'll take you out and have a cocktail, have a cup of coffee, have breakfast, have lunch, whatever. Talk about you, what you're trying to accomplish, and how a VA loan really works. It is such a slick thing. And if you don't have a VA loan, if you're one of us normal people that don't go into the military, and, you know, Veterans Day was, what, last week or 2 weeks ago? Like, God bless our military vets. Really take advantage of this. It is an amazing, amazing, amazing product. And if you don't have a VA loan, and you have to get traditional financing, then you still don't have to have 20%.
No.
And frankly, if you come to me and you're like, well, I have enough to put down 20%, I'm going to tell you not to do it. Put as little money down as possible.
Get two instead of one.
Yes. Spread your money out. If you only have 20%, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
No.
Man, diversify. That's what I would tell you anyway. And I tell everybody that because, you know, if you have enough money to put down 20%, fantastic. But I still wouldn't do it. You know, and here's the thing. Some people say, well, house hacking implies that I'm going to have a primary residence and at some near future point, I'm going to move. And moving's lame. I don't like moving. And you're right. Moving is kind of lame. You know what sucks more? Working until you die. So take advantage of the long term. The younger you are, the better this works because you have
opportunities
time.
Out there to do that are just amazing.
It is. It's amazing. You have time on your hand. Mm-hmm. Call us. We'll talk about you.
Your class is Wednesday?
Wednesday, 6:30. Tomorrow night, 6:30.
970 Yuma.
Yes, sir.
Little beer, little wine, couple snacks. Great conversation.
Yep.
720-220-8500. If you've got questions, give Mike a call. RealAtlas.com. Mike, as always, thank you very much, sir.
Gentlemen, really good to be here. Thanks again.
Kurt,
thanks.
Thank you as well.
You bet.
720-895-0500 for Affordable Interest Mortgage. Thank you for joining us today. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560. Mark Griffith coming up next.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.